It's now time to go to question time, and I'll catch Senator Cash.
Thank you. And my question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. A short while ago, the Herald Sun reported that a man released by this government following the NZYQ case was arrested for serious sexual offences. According to Victoria Police, a woman was allegedly assaulted and another woman allegedly stalked. Victoria Police also said, Victoria Police can confirm the man is one of the detainees recently released following a High Court ruling. The Minister for Home Affairs and the Minister for Immigration and Citizenship are both from Melbourne. How did this happen on your government's watch?
Thank you, Senator Cash. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Cash for the question, and I will remind the Senate that the High Court ruled that indefinite detention was unconstitutional. That did upend two decades of legal precedent and bipartisan policy, and that ruling is now the law of the land. And I would hope that Senator Cash would agree that no parliament and no minister is above the law. So that goes to the first part of Senator Cash's preamble about how it has come to pass that immigration detainees have been released into the community with I'm not making excuses. I am not making excuses, Senator Cash. I am explaining that factually what has occurred and why some immigration detainees have been released into the community under strict conditions which this
Senator
parliament supported.
Minister, please resume your seat. Order. I called order several times, and particularly Senator Cash and Senator Henderson continued to shout. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. I'm explaining how it has come to pass that detainees were released into the community. Now, in relation to the specific matter that Senator Cash raises, we are aware of that case. We will not comment on individual cases. It's before the courts. And we will not risk prejudicing court proceedings. We will do everything in our power, as we have been doing, to deport individuals who have no right to be in the country and to keep the community safe. This is a matter the government takes incredibly seriously. Our law enforcement agencies, the ABF, the AFP, the state and territory police forces, are working together, and they are doing an extraordinary job. And when there is a matter, whether it be a breach of a visa condition or an individual is arrested,
thank you, Minister.
Then
the time
we will
for answering
manage that. As well.
Senator Cash, first supplementary.
What do you say to that woman?
Thank you very much. And the Minister for Immigration and Citizenship, Minister Giles, said in the other place on the 13th of February, of the 149 hardcore criminals he released into the community following the NZYQ decision, that, and I quote, each one of them is being continuously monitored. How can they have been continuously monitored if this individual was able to commit the further sexual offences he has now been charged with?
Thank you, Senator Cash. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, I'll just remind Senator Cash, because it doesn't seem to be penetrating, that a High Court made a decision. Now, is Senator Cash suggesting that the government should not follow the law of the land? Is that what she is suggesting? In relation to the arrangements that have been put in place, this parliament has passed a number of laws to ensure the safety of the community. The minister,
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Order. Senator McKim, I've just called. Senator McKim. Senator Rustin, I called you several times and you continued to interject. Silence across the chamber, Minister Gallagher.
Individuals in this cohort are being monitored. They are being monitored in compliance with the arrangements that have been put in place by this place and indeed by the other measures that have been put in place, whether it be through assessment by the Community Protection Board. There are visa conditions, there's electronic monitoring devices, curfews, community safety, supervision orders and preventative detention as the four layers of protection.
Order. Order. I should not have to constantly call Senator Cash in particular to call you to order. Second supplementary, Senator Cash.
Thank you. And how many other serious sexual offenders are currently at large in Victoria? And will you accept responsibility for your government's failure to keep Victorians safe?
Thank you, Senator Cash. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Thank you, President. And I thank Senator Cash for the question. The government is working day and night to keep the community safe. There are laws in place, laws that you backed
Order.
In. And what you are suggesting, Senator Cash, and I presume it represents the opposition position, that the law enforcement agencies that are working day and night to keep the agents, to keep the community safe aren't doing a good enough job. Is that what you're suggesting? That
Minister,
is what you are suggesting.
Minister
it is
Gallagher,
implicit
please
in the way you are
seat.
Asking.
Please resume your seat. Order. If you want to make comment, find another time during the time the Senate is sitting, not question time. I have constantly called a number of you to order. You are out of order and you are disrespectful. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. The government set up Operation Aegis. That has a number of elements to it, all focused on keeping the community safe. This is the government's number one priority. And when an offence occurs, the law enforcement agencies respond, as they have. And that matter is now before the courts.
Senator Cash.
Safety is our main priority. And your suggestion, Senator Cash, is that law enforcement aren't doing their job properly. That is it. And we do not accept that. It's
thank
a slur
you,
on
Minister.
Them.
The
their work is
answering
extraordinary.
Has expired. Senator Stewart.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Gallagher. Labor's tax cuts passed the Parliament this week, locking in a tax cut for all Australians on July 1 this year. This will see many more taxpayers in my state of Victoria get a tax cut where they were not going to get one under the Morrison government plan. Minister, how much more will people keep in their own pockets under Labor's plan?
Thank you, Senator Stewart. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you very much. President, I thank Senator Stewart for the question and her focus on cost of living and how to alleviate cost of living pressures, particularly in her state, home state of Victoria. A person on an average income of $73,000 will get a tax cut of $1,504, an increase of $804 compared to the Morrison tax plan. A person on a national full-time minimum wage of $45,000 or just over $45,000 will get a tax cut of $827, an increase of $804 compared to the former tax plan. Under our tax cuts, people earning $45,000 will get the largest increase in tax relief as a proportion of their income, because under the former tax plan they were getting zero.
Zero.
Zero. They will now get tax return that they deserve. On a person on an
Order.
Income of $50,000 will get a tax cut of $929. A person on an income of $100,000 will get a tax cut of $2,179. And a person on an income of $130,000 will get a tax cut of $3,379. And for those on high incomes, incomes of $190,000 or $200,000, will get a tax cut of over $4,500. This is still the largest absolute tax cut by any income group. We know that these tax cuts go to 100% of taxpayers. We know that 90% of women, as I said yesterday, will get a bigger tax cut. We know the benefits are right. Across Victoria, for example, 3.5 million people in Victoria will get a tax cut on the 1st of July under our tax plan, and 86% of taxpayers in Victoria, Senator Stewart, will get a bigger tax cut.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Stewart, first supplementary.
Thank you, Minister. We know Australians are facing ongoing cost of living challenges, and addressing that issue is at the core of the Albanese Labor government's policy agenda. Labor's tax cuts are the latest in a suite of measures that the government has delivered since taking office to alleviate cost of living pressures. Can the Minister please outline to the Senate the benefits of Labor's tax cuts that build on other cost of living measures our government has taken?
Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, Senator Stewart, and President, for the call. I can, because the point that Senator Stewart raises is how do the tax cuts work in conjunction with some of those other important measures we've put in place. For example, we've delivered urgent care clinics across Australia. They're going very well, Senator Rustin. It must really pain you. I know you've been hoping for their failure, but they are going incredibly well. More support than we'd expected. And we've got one, of course, that's opened in Frankston. And since the 30th of June, that clinic has delivered more than 12,000 services to the people of Dunkley. And more than one in three of those services has been delivered to children under 15, which is exactly the groups that we were trying to ensure would benefit from the Medicare urgent care clinics. We have also cut the cost of medicines. We're addressing housing shortages, cheaper childcare, and of course the energy price relief plan that goes off.
Senator Stewart, second supplementary.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Minister. Minister, why were Labor's tax cuts the right thing to deliver for the current economic climate, and how might Australians have been worse off if these tax cuts had not unanimously passed this parliament this week?
Thank you, Senator Stewart. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, cost of living relief, of course, is the number one priority for the Albanese government, and our approach will provide bigger tax cuts for more people and middle Australia. We're continuing to roll out relief, and we've found a better and more responsible way to deliver even more support. We know that the biggest threat to those tax cuts, senators, is of course the secret plan, or the back to the drawing board plan, that was announced by the shadow finance minister. We know that there's nothing that you can't trust the Liberals on tax. We know what back to the drawing board means. It means a redesign of these stage three to take money away from low and middle income earners who deserve the tax cuts that they will get on the 1st of July. And we also know that there'll be cuts to Medicare, cuts to the ABC, cuts to education. This is what you get. You can't trust the Liberal Party.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Patterson.
Thank you, Madam President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. A short while ago, the Australian Border Force has confirmed that a convicted sex offender who was released following the NZYQ decision has been arrested and charged with further sex offences yesterday in Melbourne. Why did the government not apply for a community safety detention order to re-detain this serial sex offender, a decision that could only be made by a minister, not law enforcement?
Thank you, Senator Patterson. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President. And in relation to the matter that Senator Patterson raised, we are not going to comment on individual cases because we will not prejudice court proceedings that are underway. We will continue to do everything in our power to keep the community safe and to deport individuals who have no right to be in the country, and to ensure that Operation Aegis, which has been established immediately following the High Court decision, has all of the support that the government can bring to it to ensure that law enforcement and security agencies are working together to deal with the release of this cohort of immigration detainees who were released by a decision of the High Court. The minister is working every single day with those security agencies, with his state and territory colleagues, to make sure that everything is done that can be done to keep the community safe. And as you know, there is a range of work underway. The Department of Home Affairs, working with Australian Border Force, working with the Community Protection Board. I have seen the work they are doing, and I know you want to come in here and stir up and politicise all of these matters. That's
Order.
Your natural
Order.
Inclination is to go straight to it when you know exactly how hard those agencies are working. You know the challenges they face,
Order.
And you are seeking to undermine it here today. The minister is working with state and territory colleagues. He's working with all of the relevant agencies to keep the community safe. Where there is an offence committed, the law enforcement agencies respond as they have, and that matter is currently before the court.
Thank you, Minister Gallagher. Senator Hughes, I do believe that was you that made the imputation against the minister. I'm going to ask you to withdraw. I'm fairly certain it was Senator Hughes, but
honestly wasn't calling out, but I withdraw. I don't know what it was.
You were calling out, Senator Hughes. Thank you for the withdrawal. Senator Patterson, first supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. The Minister for Home Affairs has repeatedly said that if it were up to her, all offenders released as a result of the High Court's decision would be in detention. Minister, it is up to her. Do you accept that this serious alleged offending could have been prevented if the minister had lived up to her word and applied to re-detain this individual?
Minister Gallagher.
Thank you.
Order.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit the minister down again. Order. Order. Now, Senator Hughes very graciously just got up and withdrew. I'm not sure if it was Senator Hughes who made the imputation, but there was an imputation made. Now, the reason I didn't hear it was because this chamber is too noisy. Yelling out is inappropriate from either side. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. It took the opposition 3 years after passing Harto legislation to make the first application
order
to the court. This is the system that you called for. It's the system that this parliament passed.
Senator
and if
Rustin.
I can quote you, the Shadow Minister for Home Affairs said, there is a very high legal threshold to be met for a court to continue to agree to ongoing detention. We're all aware that there's a high threshold, and we knew that when we put the legislation through the parliament before Christmas. So that's what you know. They're the facts. You come in here and conveniently run a different line to the one you know is true
Senator
and
Rustin.
The one I am quoting from. The government
Senator
is
McGrath.
Doing everything it can to keep the community safe. We have preventative detention. We have community safety supervision orders. We have electronic monitoring devices and curfews, stringent visa conditions, and we are working with all of our colleagues across the states and territories to keep
you,
the
Minister,
community
the
safe.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. And once again, the chamber just erupted into disorder. Senator Patterson, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Will the government now apologise to the alleged victims and the people of Melbourne that you have failed to protect through your own inaction by failing to make a single application for a preventative detention order despite the parliament rushing them through before Christmas?
Shame.
Thank you, Senator Patterson. Minister Gallagher.
Well, on the first issue, I think this has been well ventilated around the work that is being done on preventative detention, and Senator Patterson understands that, and you understand
Senator
it well,
Cash.
And you choose to ignore it. And by doing so, you are ignoring all of the work that is happening across government, and you are undermining that work. You are undermining that work in relation to all of the victims that have been involved in the NZYQ cohort. Of course, the government is committed to ensuring that everything is done to support victims
Senator
and their families,
Cash.
And an enormous
Minister,
amount of work has gone into that.
Minister, please resume your seat. Senator Patterson.
On direct relevance, the question was, will you apologise?
I believe the minister is being relevant, but I will continue to listen. Senator Patterson.
You. And I did. I was responding to that, despite those shouting at me opposite. I can understand why Senator Patterson couldn't hear. We are committed to doing everything that we can, and I know the minister personally is, to support victims and their families who have been involved with this cohort. And Senator Patterson understands exactly how much work is going into preventative detention. You know it, and you come in here and you choose to ignore
thank
it.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Wish-Wilson.
Thank you, President. My question is to Senator Gallagher, representing the Minister for the Environment. There's been some disturbing reports today that the Great Barrier Reef is on the brink of a seventh mass coral bleaching. Could you please update the Senate and the Australian people on this disturbing news and when we'll know for certain that this has occurred?
Thank you, Senator Wish-Wilson. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, Senator Wish-Wilson. I thank the President for the question. I haven't seen those reports this morning, I must say, but I am aware, obviously, of the issue of coral bleaching and the impact on the Great Barrier Reef. I mean, this government has made it a priority to make investments into the reef to restore and repair. And I know that Senator Green has been leading that work in consultation and support with Minister Plibersek, to do what's needed to be done to ensure the future of the Great Barrier Reef. It's an incredible. It's a reef that anyone who has visited is of incredible beauty. It's an important part of North Queensland. Yes, I have been up there, Senator Rennick, you fool. It deserves all of our attention to protect it. And that's why we have been doing what we can. I endorse
Order
the work of Senator Green, who is doing an incredible job, and as a local up there, of course, is in touch with all of the businesses and industries and
Minister
groups that rely on...
Please resume your seat. Senator Hume.
Chair, Madam President, sorry. I think the Minister might have referred to Senator Rennick by with a rather offensive comment, and I wonder whether you might ask her to withdraw.
Certainly. Order. Order on my right. Order. Minister, if you made an unparliamentary remark to Senator Rennick, please withdraw.
Discipline there, President, and I withdraw.
Thank you.
And I, of course, would be very happy to debate Senator Rennick. Thank you.
Senator Rennick.
So we are aware of the pressures on the reef. We are also aware of the economic importance and environmental importance of having a healthy reef. And that is why the government remains committed to doing what we need to do to keep the reef safe and to repair the reef where we can and to protect it from coral bleaching as well.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Wish-Wilson, first supplementary.
Yeah, thanks, Minister. This is potentially the seventh mass coral bleaching since 1998, which is the first mass coral bleaching ever recorded, the fifth in 8 years. Ocean temperatures right around the world year on year continue to set new records. Minister, does your government accept that the burning of fossil fuels and climate change is causing these marine heat waves and coral bleaching, and that it is the single biggest threat to the Great Barrier Reef?
Thank you, Senator Wish-Wilson. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, Senator Wish-Wilson. Well, we certainly believe in climate change. We believe that the transition to renewable energy is an important and essential piece of work before the government. We work with you where we can. I think our record on in the first 18 months of doing what we can in the environment portfolio, and it shows what you can do when you have a government that actually does believe in climate change, to make the necessary investments, and I will go through them. 43% emissions reduction by 2030, 82% renewable energy by 2030, doubling the rate of renewable energy approvals, 43 ticked off, which will power 2.5 million homes, a record of 27 more renewable projects in the pipeline, cheaper electric cars, higher fuel efficiency standards, huge upgrades to our energy grid to take more renewable energy, help for homes and businesses to get off gas and electricity.
Our time, thank you, Minister.
I can keep going.
Senator Wish-Wilson, second supplementary.
Yeah, thanks, Minister. The latest research shows that on a 2-degree warming scenario, which we're well on the way towards, we'll lose 99% of the corals on the Great Barrier Reef, and it's not the only coral reef in the world that we will lose. Minister, you've said several times today we're doing what we can, and I agree we can do more, and I'm sure you agree. Will your government consider a climate trigger in new environment laws so that we can actually reduce our emissions in this country and play our part?
Thank you, Senator Wish-Wilson. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, the Minister for Environment is working with people across this parliament around reforms to that piece of legislation. I have no doubt that will play out, as it will, in this chamber and the other place. But I would say that it's a much better position in to deal with the effects of climate change if we have agreement across the parliament.
Yep.
If we have, I mean, the biggest threat to the work we're doing now and to reduce the impact of a warming climate is sitting right in front of
That's
you.
Right.
I mean, opposing fuel efficiency standards, opposing renewable energy projects, opposing energy bill relief, opposing all of the measures that we take and that we work, and you know, it would be great if 10 years of climate wars hadn't proved one thing to anybody outside this place, is that when this parliament works together, we can get some things done and we can make steps in the right
thank
direction.
Thank you, Minister. Your time for answering has expired. Senator Searle.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Industry and Science, Minister Watt. The Albanese government is committed to building a future made in Australia and delivering secure, well-paid jobs for Australians. What will be the impact of Labor's tax cuts on the many tradies working across our country, Minister?
Thank you, Senator Stirl. And it's Minister Watt.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Stirl, who I know has been a long-time supporter of the rights of blue-collar workers in our country. It's a pleasure to work with you on that, Senator Stirl. Well, Senator Stirl, put simply, the Albanese government wants Australia to be a country that makes things again. And that's why we're working hard to secure a future made in Australia. At the core of that vision are the talented tradies and the regional and outer suburban communities that support them. We can't achieve a future made in Australia without our amazing chippies, sparkies, fitters and other tradespeople. Our manufacturing and construction industries are growing, and now they employ more than 2 million Australians, including more than 235,000 new jobs since the election of our government. Manufacturing and construction workers from across Australia, those who make our homes, our steel, medicines, food, furniture and everything in between, deserve a government that values them and has their back. And Labor's tax cuts demonstrate we are that government. Our tradies are the backbone of our manufacturing and construction industry, and under the Albanese Labor government, they will all be getting a tax cut. Labor's tax cuts will mean that an entry-level plumber making $56,000 a year will get a tax cut of more than $1,000. And let's look at another vital trade, Australia's welders. Under Labor's cost of living tax cuts, a welder helping to build Australian products making $83,000 a year will get a tax cut of $1,754. And how about those hard-working sparkies? An electrician earning $93,000 will get a tax cut of more than $2,000. Australian tradies can bank on Labor to help them earn more and keep more of what they earn. This government is helping Australian manufacturing and construction businesses to grow, and we're supporting manufacturing and construction workers and tradies to prosper.
Thank you, Senator Watt. Senator Stirl, first supplementary.
I do, thank you, President. Australia's tradies help so many of our factories, production lines and construction sites turn out great Australian products every single day. How will Labor's tax cuts ensure that those tradies are able to keep more of what they earn, and why is this so important, Minister?
Thank you, Senator Stirl. Minister Watt.
Well, thanks again, Senator Stirl. And I can tell you, Senator Stirl, as someone who recently renovated his own home, I know exactly how important our local tradies are to our households. But they also play an absolutely vital role for businesses as well, both large and small. It's important that we all stimulate the local economy, Senator Stirl, not just talk about it. Whether it's the plumber making sure the water's running, the metal worker keeping the factory production line moving, or the sparky keeping the lights on, they will all benefit from Labor's tax cuts. But every time we see a Liberal frontbencher have a light bulb moment and go on TV, they make their position absolutely clear. They want a return to Scott Morrison's tax plan. When Deputy Liberal Leader Susan Lee was asked whether they would roll back Australia's tax cuts, she said, "Absolutely, this is our position." And helpfully, the Leader of the Opposition, Mr Dutton, offered this up himself without even being pushed, saying, "Do we walk away from the principles of stage three? Absolutely not." And they even say no right now. Thank you, Senator
Thank
Hume.
You, Senator
They don't
Watt.
Walk away from the
Senator Stirl, first, second supplementary.
Thank you, President, and I can't wait to get home to see how it's gone. The Liberals and Nationals' first reaction was to oppose these cuts. And just yesterday, Senator Hume promised the Liberals and I quote, would go back to the drawing board on tax cuts. Why is it important that tradies benefit from Labor's tax cuts, Minister?
Thank you, Senator Searle. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. And President, I might need your guidance on standing orders here, because I'd like to take the interjection from Senator Hume in the answer to the previous question, where she also confirmed that the opposition wants to go back to the principles of the Stage 3 tax cuts. We do. She's continued. They're all doing it. They're all doing it. So they all want to take money off middle Australia, and they want to take back the tax cuts that we've delivered to low-income earners in Australia.
Order.
Thank you. Can you keep confirming it? Run up to your TV studios and keep confirming it. Go and keep telling middle Australia and low-income earners that you want to take those tax cuts back off them, because you never supported them in the first place. You were going to oppose them. You were going to roll them back. Then you voted for them after saying you wanted an election on them. And you're still in here saying that you want to take those tax cuts back from middle Australia and low-income earners. Australian tradies need a government that's going to help them earn more and keep more of what they earn. And we've had it confirmed today that the Liberal Party is all about making them work more and earn less. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Watt. Senator Lambie. Senator Lambie.
My question is to the Minister for Women. Friday next week, March the 8th, is International Women's Day, a day to celebrate women's achievement. On the 28th of September last year, Minister, you wrote, and I quote, "We know there is no point encouraging more women into the workforce if the workplace is not safe," end quote. Minister, female unionists have driven change in this country for more than 100 years. They have a long history of suffrage, standing up and fighting for change that makes Australia a better place. This morning I brought a bill to this chamber seeking to protect vulnerable women from the construction division of the CFMEU and men like John Secker to help these women be safe. Instead of supporting this bill, this government, a government that you are a minister in, the Minister for Women no less, this government said it will not support the bill. Minister, how do you reconcile your lack of support for these working women with your role as a Minister for Women?
Thank you, Senator Lambie. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, I reject any assertion that I don't support women or working women or women's safety, and I have spoken about that, and I've actually, it's been a big part of my career in public life, has been focusing on improving the lives of women, and particularly around women's safety. In relation to the bill that was before the parliament this morning, as the representing minister or repping minister said, the government recognises the issue that was put forward in the bill and the motivation behind the bill, and we understand that there are ongoing discussions between the relevant parties within the organisation, and we're not going to preempt the outcome of those discussions, and that's why the government isn't supporting the bill. But I'm not going to sit here and in any way accept the fact that we are not a government that is focused on women's safety or in improving the lives of women, whether it be in health, whether it be at work, whether it be in economic security, whether it be ending violence against women and children, whether it be supporting the work that Minister Rishworth does, whether
Senator
it be
McKenzie.
In working with states and territories. I have a women's ministers meeting tomorrow where women's safety is a standing item. In other ministerial councils that I am involved in, I have put women's safety on the agenda of those to make sure that they are being driven through other councils, including data and digital ministers, to make sure that we are doing everything we can to improve women's safety, reduce the amount of violence, and improve working women's conditions. I'm very well aware of the suffrage movement through the union movement. All of us have been involved in that for all of our careers.
Yep.
We don't need someone to lecture us on that. It is part of our DNA. These are part of the organisations we represent. We're proud of that. We're proud of being Labor people, and we're proud of the union movement and the work that women
Thank
have done
you,
within
Minister
the
Gallagher,
union
the
movement.
Time for answering has expired. Senator Lambie, first supplementary.
Thank you. Enough of talk, more action. But, Minister, 140 years ago in 1882, Melbourne tailoresses went on strike to protect vulnerable people, women and children in this case, from unsafe working condition. This industrial action, which was considered sensational and absolutely extraordinary at the time by many of the male commentators, enabled the Factory Reform Act 1883, which led to greater workplace protection for children. Minister, how do you think you and your government stacks up against these women?
Thank you, Senator Lambie. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, we're continuing the work of those incredible women. I mean, those women fed into, through the work in the union movement, fed into the foundation of our political organisation. And all of the women involved in the Labor Party, and indeed all of the men involved in the Labor Party, build on the work of those women and those men who were very brave as they fought for industrial rights in this country. And that fight continues today, as we know. You know, we've had the closing loopholes bill. We've had all the claims that any improvement in industrial relations is going to be the end of everything, the end of the world. And we have those, the resistance to what was occurring back in the 1800s, sitting in front of us today. So we absolutely are committed to improving the lives of working women. We understand within the organisation that there are discussions, and it's absolutely appropriate that those be allowed to occur.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Lambie's second supplementary.
Thank you. Over the last 2 years, the CFMEU gave the Australian Labor Party $4.8 million. $4.8 million hush money to keep the ALP quiet on the fact the CFMEU is using standover tactics, bullying and harassment to keep these women quiet, to ensure these women know their place, that they are to be seen and not heard. Minister, is this why Labor won't support these women? Is $4.8 million what it costs to keep the ALP in lockstep with John Secker and the CFMEU?
Thank you, Senator Lambie. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Well, I completely reject that question, absolutely. And if there is any evidence to support that, if there is a scrap of evidence to support that, then the responsibility is on Senator Lambie to bring forward that evidence. There are electoral laws in this country. There are laws governing political donations. People can come in here and point the finger about political donations, and certainly I can hear those opposite relishing it. Well, they get plenty of political donations themselves. Is there any evidence at all to support the claim that you are putting? People come in here, we abide by the law. Those who donate to political parties should abide by the law. That information is important, you know, so that people have the transparency and accountability that comes with accepting those donations. And that is the framework that that operates in this country. And unless there's any evidence to support your claim, Senator Lambie, you know, it reflects on you.
Thank you, Minister. The time has expired. Senator Birmingham.
Well, thanks, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. As we've heard, Victorian Police and the Australian Border Force have issued statements this morning confirming that a man released by this government following the NZYQ case was arrested for serious sexual offences, and according to Victoria Police, a woman was allegedly assaulted and another woman allegedly stalked. This minister and the government have repeatedly sought to compare the community safety detention order passed last December by this parliament with the continuing detention orders that had previously been in place. Minister, will you confirm that under the continuing detention orders, individuals were continuously detained and not released into the community? In contrast, the NZYQ cohort are in the community. Isn't this comprehensive misunderstanding by the Albanese government another demonstration of just how your government is failing to accept responsibility for ensuring these individuals are monitored and put back in detention?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Gallagher.
Well, I absolutely reject the question that and the preamble that that Senator Birmingham has put in place, and I would ensure that those who participated in estimates last week, who particularly the Home Affairs estimates, where these matters were gone to in great depth, understand exactly how much work is underway on the preventative detention. And I would also say that a big difference is that the High Court actually came down with a ruling that said indefinite detention is no longer—
Minister, please resume your seat. Senator Rustin and Senator Cash, I've called order and you've continued to interject. Listen in silence. Minister, please continue.
Thank you. The preventative detention model that the government put in place through laws that passed this place is based on the former Liberal government's high-risk terror offenders scheme. And as others on that side, including the Shadow Minister for Home Affairs, there is a very high legal threshold to be met for a court to agree to ongoing detention. We're all aware that there's a high threshold, and we knew that when we put the legislation through. As those opposite know, there is significant work underway preparing applications. We want those applications to be successful. People are working day and night on those applications. You know that. You pretend otherwise, but you know it. The moment those laws pass this place, that work began. In fact, there was work underway before that. But once the law was settled, once the law was settled, those applications have been worked upon. You know that, and you know the difference with NZYQ is that the High Court has made a ruling. The government had to abide by that ruling, as you would have if you were in government. The law changed, and Senator we have Cash been working tirelessly since that occurred to keep the community safe, to put in place a framework that works.
Senator Birmingham, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Supplementary. The government has claimed that individuals released are subject to continuous monitoring. Yet somehow these individuals subject to continuous monitoring seem to increasingly be continuously reoffending. The government has equally claimed that it is doing everything possible to make applications for new detention orders, yet none have been lodged. How can any Australian have confidence in the actions of this government when every statement it's made is found to be untrue?
The time for asking the question has expired. Minister Gallagher.
Well, those statements are not untrue. That the government. Well, they're not. I don't accept that at all. I do not accept that. We have been working on applications for preventative detention, and they will proceed. And we want those applications to be successful. And it is a high legal threshold, and it does require working with states and territories who have a lot of the information to put together those applications so they are successful. In the meantime, there are a range of measures, as you know and as you're aware, that the law enforcement agencies are undertaking in monitoring the NZYQ cohort. And to suggest that they are not being monitored is to reflect on the work of those. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. Because you are alleging that they are not doing their job properly. You are undermining the whole framework by the way that you are playing this. Yes, you are. That's exactly what you are doing. You
thank
are
you, Minister.
Saying they're not
their
doing their job properly, and we
expired.
Reject that.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Birmingham, second supplementary.
Thanks, President. Senator Patterson invited the Minister to apologise to the alleged victim of this latest sexual assault and, indeed, other victims of the NZYQ cohort. The Minister did not take the opportunity to apologise. If the Albanese government is refusing to say sorry and refusing to apologise to those who have been impacted by crimes of these released criminals, what is your message to those who are paying the real-life consequences of their release
and
reoffending?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator Birmingham for the question. I don't think there's anyone in this place who wouldn't be concerned and feel for victims involved, not only with this group of individuals, but more broadly. Particularly those who may have suffered from a sexual assault or a sexual crime. I'm not going to reflect on the individual that's before the court because I don't want to prejudice that matter that is before the court, and to do so would be irresponsible. But I think to suggest that there are people in this place that don't care and that haven't turned their mind to that, it's just not true, and you know it's not true. We are all here. We are all worried about people who may have been on the end of offending. And the Minister has reached out, as you would expect, to ensure that support is being provided to relevant individuals.
Senator Roberts. Senator Roberts.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. When will the government name the former Australian politician that ASIO Chief Mike Burgess yesterday referenced as someone who sold out Australia to advance the interests of a foreign regime?
Thank you, Senator Roberts.
For the question, and I note the annual threat assessment that was delivered last night by the Director-General of ASIO, and we have utmost confidence in our security and intelligence services. The Director General made a comment about this. He was specifically asked about this last night. He said he'd made a deliberate decision not to name the individual, and he provided reasons for this. And the government respects his judgment. He has our 100% support. He has the full picture, and he made an informed decision. The threat assessment made clear that we need to continue to be vigilant and sober in how we respond to threats, and this is what we are doing. But the annual threat assessment is an assessment made by ASIO. It is delivered by the Director General of that organisation. It's not something that the government authors. It's a document that is very much the Director General's and ASIO's to do so, and he has all the information available to him. He made a decision about that. If that decision changes, that's his decision as well. It is not a decision for the government to make.
Senator Roberts, first supplementary.
Thank you. Minister, former parliamentarians, as I understand it, have an automatic pass to enter Parliament House. The former politician who sold out this country could be in this building right now, in a parliamentarian's office, and the office holder, MP or senator, would have no idea they're talking to a spy. Why won't you name the traitor now?
Thank you, Senator Roberts. Minister Gallagher.
Passes to this building is a matter for the presiding officers or the rules around that. I mean, I think it is. I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Well, it is. Sorry, but it's not a matter that the government is responsible for. But in relation to
order, please continue.
In relation to the actual question you asked, which was about naming an individual. It's a matter for the Director General of ASIO. If he was to choose to name that, that's a name an individual, that's a matter for him. As part of his annual threat assessment, he made a decision to raise the issue, I think, and to rightly point to the fact that foreign interference is an issue. It's an issue that all of us as members of Parliament need to be aware of.
But it's a matter. Senator Roberts, second supplementary.
Thank you. Minister, you have just put the presiding officer in a difficult position. Why is this government afraid to say the C word and acknowledge the country that is the greatest risk to Australia's interests and largest perpetrator of foreign interference, China, the Chinese Communist Party?
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Senator Roberts. Minister Gallagher.
I'm not sure the question really. We talk about China all the time as a government. We've been seeking to stabilise the relationship. We've been seeking to remove some of the trade bans. But you know, we've also been very clear that we must disagree where we do, and where we can agree, that's we should reach agreement. But there are things that are in our national interest that we may disagree on, then we will be upfront about that. I mean, we will always act in our country's national interest. That's what we've done from the first day we were appointed, and it's what we will continue to do. That's what guides us in relation to our interactions and our work across the world. There's a number of countries that we engage with regularly. But it's always in our national interest that we do that.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Polly.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Health, Senator Gallagher. The amazing nurses, paramedics, physios, podiatrists and other healthcare professionals who work across the country's hospitals and primary care system support Australians every single day, often in their time of need. Given their tireless contribution, can the Minister please tell the Senate how Labor is backing these healthcare workers by delivering them all a tax cut on July 1?
Thank you, Senator Polly. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Polly, for that question and, again, for your ongoing interest in all matters relating to cost of living pressures, how we can reduce cost of living pressures on families, and particularly, and I know this is a significant issue in Tasmania right now, around the delivery of health services. So the health workforce, of course, such an important workforce as we grow the care economy in this country. From July 1, Labor will deliver every single healthcare worker in the country a tax cut to help with the cost of living. A nurse in Western Sydney earning $76,000 will receive a tax cut of over $1,500. A hospital cleaner in Adelaide earning $59,000 will get a tax cut of over $1,000, $1,154. A physio in Melbourne's north earning $110,000 will get a tax cut of $2,400. A podiatrist in the NT earning $87,000 will get a tax cut of $1,854. And guess what? Their patients, indeed every taxpayer, will get a tax cut too. We want Australians to earn more and keep more of what they earn. And we know what those opposite want. They want them to work harder for less.
That's right.
And that's what's guiding their policy. That's why they're going back to the drawing board on the tax cuts. We know that we can't trust them on tax. We can't trust them on services. We're supporting healthcare workers, President, through the urgent care clinics, through the work that's being done there to provide out-of-hours care for people free of charge. We know this has been a huge success for kids under 15. We know this is an area that's going to contribute so much to the economy, but more importantly, so much to people who need access to health care that's affordable and accessible in their local areas.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Polly, first supplementary.
President, healthcare workers in our hospitals work long hours and in stressful environments. They are there for Australians in some of their darkest hours. How is the Albanese Labor government backing these workers? And can the minister inform the Senate how much more money nurses in my home state of Tasmania will keep in their pockets on July 1?
Great question. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you, and I thank Senator Polly for standing up for nurses in Tasmania. A registered nurse in Tassie, Senator Polly, earning $75,000, will get a tax cut of $1,154 a year. And obviously, based on their level of seniority, that may change, but coming in at around an entry level, that's a significant tax cut for those nurses, and it recognises the work that they do in Launceston, in Hobart, in Devonport, in all of the country hospitals and the GP practices. Wherever you see a nurse, they will be getting a tax cut. This is important for other staff that works at hospitals, like hospital orderlies, the cleaners at hospitals, the allied healthcare workers at hospitals. We've been focused on making sure that all Australian taxpayers get a fair share of these tax cuts, and that's why the passage of that legislation earlier this week was so important.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Polly's second supplementary.
President, Minister, why is it so important that these healthcare workers get a bigger tax cut on July 1 under Labor's plan? And can I say, my young brother, who is a worker, is so looking forward to getting this tax cut on his birthday.
Minister Gallagher.
Well, I'm sure you can take credit for that, Senator Polly. What a birthday present indeed. On the 1st of July, a tax cut made as a birthday present. So please take credit for that, Senator Polly. But we know that you know, what we've been doing, whether it be through tax, whether it be through some of our cost of living measures, and absolutely what we can do to address inflation across the economy, has been guiding a lot of our decisions. And we know the importance behind these tax cuts to workers across Australia. We know the pressure they're under. That's why we took the decision, and it wasn't an easy decision because it was a change in our position. But we changed our position because it was the right thing to do for the right reasons. And those opposites said they would oppose it. They said they'd call election over it. They said they'd roll it back. And now the language has changed. Just back to the drawing board. Well, we know what back to the drawing board is. That's code for taking tax cuts away from people and cutting services.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Hume. Senator Hume.
Thank you, Madam President. Take my time. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Gallagher. Of the 149 hardcore criminals released by the Albanese government, including many rapists and sex offenders, can the Minister advise how many have re-offended since they were released?
Thank you, Senator Hume.
Thank you, President. Well, I understand that information is made available through the reporting by the relevant state or territory or federal police. So that information is publicly available. Well, it's publicly available, so go and find it. I mean, I'm not here to do your homework for you. I'm not here to do your homework. The government's job is to put... The government's job is to put in place the arrangements that keep the community safe.
Minister, please resume your seat. I'll just wait. I am waiting. Senator Hume.
Thank you, Madam President. We're happy to wait until you Google it, Minister.
Beautiful word. Senator Hume, that was Minister Gallagher.
Well, Google yourself, you know, like, honestly. The issue...
Order! 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 Senator McGrath.
Come on, Senator McGrath. Come
Please
on.
Please continue.
But the issue you raise around the management of the NZYQ is a serious one, which is why the government has taken it so seriously. That's why the work is being done. That's why when there is an offence...
Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Senator Hume.
Point of order, Madam President, and that is relevant. So I didn't ask about the management. I just asked about the number.
Correct. And the minister is being directly relevant to that part of your question. Senator Hume. Minister Gallagher, please resume your seat. Senator Birmingham.
President, it was a very precise question in relation to the number. Now, if the minister, for some unknown reason, doesn't have the number in her briefing folders, or Minister Watt doesn't have it in his, or if they're unwilling for some reason to actually turn to the relevant page and reveal it, the least the minister can do is take it on notice so the Senate does eventually receive the actual answer, rather than telling people to go and Google it, when I'm pretty confident you won't find it if you just Google it.
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. The minister, order, order, order. As you know, I cannot direct the words that the minister uses to answer questions. The minister has answered that part of the question. It may not have been the answer you were seeking, but she has answered it. Minister, please continue.
No, I haven't refused to answer it. I haven't. I have answered it. That information is made public through the relevant
Order.
Law enforcement agencies.
Good answer.
Senator Hume, first supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Birmingham, you've got one of your own senators on her feet. I've called her to ask her question. Senator Ruston, equally. Senator Hume.
Thank you, Madam President. Of the 149 hardcore criminals that were released by the Albanese government, including many rapists and sex offenders, can the minister tell me how many have been rearrested?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Gallagher.
Well, that's the same question asked a different way, and that matter is made public by the relevant law
Minister
enforcement
Gallagher,
agencies.
Please resume your seat. Senator Cash, I don't see you on your feet. I've got Senator Hume on her feet. Senator Hume.
Point of order on relevance. The first question was about how many had re-offended.
Sorry.
The second question was about how many had been re-arrested.
Senator Hume, I believe the minister has completed her question, so I'll invite you to put your second supplementary.
Madam President, if the minister doesn't understand the question, I'm happy for her to take the answer on notice, but can the minister guarantee that the remaining hardcore criminals...
Senator Green.
Excuse me?
Can the minister guarantee that the remaining criminals...
Senator Hume, I'm sorry, could you resume your seat? Senator Cash, I had called Senator Green to order and you continued to interject.
Sorry,
Over your own person asking a question. Senator Hume, I invite you to begin again.
President, can the minister guarantee that the remaining hardcore criminals released by this government who are still in our community are in fact being adequately monitored? Can you please make this guarantee on behalf of your government to the people of Victoria, and particularly the women of Victoria where this last offence occurred?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. I can guarantee that the government is working with the law enforcement agencies to manage the NZYQ cohort, to keep the community safe, and where there are issues, whether it be through visa breaches or offending or committing an offence for which they are charged, the law enforcement agencies do the job that they are meant to do and that we support, and they are doing an extraordinary job, Senator Hume. I ask that all further questions be placed on the notice paper.